Okay, so we're in the bottom of Chaf Beis and Beis. I think got to the Mishnah. I think yesterday the Mishnah says a osa sukkasa barosha agala. First, makes a sukkah on a wagon, o barosha svina, or perhaps he makes it on a boat. Kshera, it's permitted. It's a good sukkah. Rashi points out even though it's it moves, and even though it's not kavua, it's still considered a good sukkah, because it's enough to have a diras arai. You don't need a diras kevet, diras arai is enough. Then the Mishnah continues and says, "V'olin lo b'yamtif." You're also allowed to go on it on yamtif. You could go on the boat. You could go on the wagon. Let's say you make it barosha ilan. You make it on top of a tree. O al gave gamal, or you place it on top of the animal.
Why?
Because this is always best this way.
Yeah.
Kavius, yeah. So, or you put it on top of a tree. Or you put it on top of an animal, a camel, that sukkah is also kshera. V'ein olin la, but you do not go on it on yantif. You're not allowed to go on top of an animal, because a gzeri might come to ride it. And you ride the animal, you might break off a branch. You can't go on a tree, because you might break off a tree. The bottom of Chav Beis and Beis.
So we don't assume, when I saw a wagon, I assumed that there was an ox or something attached. We shouldn't assume that?
Let's say, even if it is, it's not on the animal itself. It's still on the wagon. So going on the wagon.
You're
going
to reach out and.
Interesting. It's a good point. Let's see. It's a good question. Right? Maybe the gzeir only exists on the actual animal, not on the wagon. You have to say that, I guess. Okay. Now, where are we? Fine. So that's what the Mishnah says. So if it's on top of an animal or on top of a tree, it's a good sukkah. You just can't go on it on yantif, because you might break a branch. Then the Mishnah says, shtaim b'ilan. Let's say two of them are made from a tree. Two of the walls are made from a tree.
So how can it be a good sukkah if you cannot climb on it?
You can use a chol moed.
Only chol
moed. Right. Now let's say shtayim bilan. Let's say two of the walls are made from trees. The achas bide adam, and one of them is man-made. You build up a wall yourself. Oh, shtayim bide adam, or two of the walls are man-made. The achas bilan, one of the walls is a tree. Kshere, that's still a kasher. Sukkah v'ein olin ba b'yamtif. You can't go on this on yamtif, because again, the same concern that you might break a branch. But let's say shalosh bidei adam. Let's say three walls, and all you need is three walls. Two walls plus a little bit. Three walls are man-made. V'achas bi'ilan, and one of them is a tree. The fourth one, rather. There's a fourth one that's a tree, which is unnecessary. Kshera v'olam b'yamtiv. It's a good sukkah, and you're allowed to go on this on sukkahs, on yamtiv itself. Because it's not a concern, because you're not really using the tree. The tree, the fourth wall, which is made from a tree, is unnecessary to the sukkah. The sukkah is kosher without this fourth wall. So the Mishnah says, Zeklal, this is the rule. Kol sheyinatel ha'ilan v'yichol la'amor b'fnei atzmo, k'shera v'olam b'yamtif. Any situation where if you were to take the tree away, to remove that wall, it's still able to stand on its own right, meaning halachically, it's still a good wall, so then you could use it, and you could also, on yamtif, you could use it. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Now, there's one Rashi here I wanted to point out for a second. Look back for a second to the Chaf Beis Amud Beis, the Rashi Kshera. There are two Rashis that say Kshera. It's 1, 2, 3, 6, 7 lines from the bottom of Rashi. The last word on the line is Kshera. So if you build it on a tree, it's a good sukkah, you just can't go on a yamtif. It says Rashi, Kshera, l'chol shamoed. See the Rashi?
No.
It's 7 lines from the bottom, the last word on the line.
Kshera, yeah.
Kshera l'chol shemo. You'll have to use a sukkah on chol moed, but not on yantif, because you can't go on the trees on yantif. However, he writes, v'ap yamtif nami im avar v'olala yatsu dechalas. If you were to violate it and go on, but anyways, it's a good b'dievet, it's a good, you ate in the sukkah, well, you're a yotze. So why were you yotze? So some ask, isn't it a question of mitzvah b'avera? Mitzvah b'avera, you're not yotze. If you steal esog, you steal a lulav and use it for sukkahs, that's not good. It's a mitzvah haba me'avera. You stole something to use in avera, to do a mitzvah. Here too, so you violated an avera of going up on the tree, so it shouldn't be a good mitzvah. How then does Rashi say, b'di'avad, you're yotze? It's a mitzvah haba me'avera. So the mitzvah ace on the back says, you have the wrong girsa. It should say, ein yotze dechavasa. If you do go up on the sukkah, on the tree on Yantif, you are not yotze dechavasa because of mitzvah haba me'avera. Others say, no, Rashi means what he says. There's differences between mitzvah haba me'avera. Mitzvah haba me'avera is only when the actual chepsa, the object, is aser. I stole something, this esrog is aser. It's gzela, always, no matter when, no matter where. This sukkah is not a chepsa, the object itself is an aser. It's only today on Yantif is an aser because I can't walk up. Tomorrow it's going to be mutter because it's not Yantif anymore, it's chalmoid. So it's not inherently a problem to the actual sukkah. As opposed to when I stole it, that object is always stolen. That's a chalosh shame, it's called a stolen object. This is just usher today, but tomorrow goes away. So in that case, you don't apply the psula mitzvah babi aver. Okay, other interesting lumdus in mitzvah babi aver. Let's go to the Gemara now, Chaf Gimel Min Aleph. The Gemara says, Mani Masnisin, who is the author of our Mishnah? So Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who authored our Mishnah. How do they know this? The Tani, the Brisa says, Ha'osa sukkasa barosha svina. Let's say you build a sukkah on top of the boat. Rabbi Gamliel posel. Rabbi Gamliel says it's not a good sukkah. Rabbi Kiva machshir. So we see Rabbi Kiva is the one. Just like in our Mishnah, right before you came, David, the Mishnah told us that if you place a sukkah on top of a boat, it's kosher, and you could go up on Yantif. So this is clearly the opinion of Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Akiva is a Tana?
Yes.
And
Rabbi Gamliel is also a Tana. Yeah, they're both Tanaim.
So how come the Mishnah is like him and not like Rabbi Gamliel? Mm-hmm. How come he wrote
many times Mishnah, the beginning of Megillah, that Beis Min Aleph tells us, Stam Mishnah is usually Rabbi Kiva or his Talmidim. That's usually how it is.
No, but why the guy is Cholek on him?
Oh, he's a Tani, he's allowed to. Rabbi Gamliel is Rabbi Gamliel.
Okay. So why he's not, right?
Well, they have a debate about what the definition of a sukkah is. Rabbi Gamliel might think you need a Diras Keva, a permanent dwelling space, like no. We saw already.
So I just want to understand the Bailach as a general rule. So they might come to conclusion based on that, and the conclusion basically is the halacha. Or they might not come to conclusion, and then who's posek if it's good or not good?
So there are a number of rules that how to pass in halacha. It's a different. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Brachos has a whole list of rules how we follow. You know, when Rav and Abayi fight against each other, we always agree with Rabba. But there's a few cases where six cases where Abayi is right. When Rav and Shmuel argue, we always passing Rav when it comes to Dinim, Shmuel when it comes to Isurim. There are all these different rules. Now, sometimes things don't fit into the rules, so then you have to start figuring out how things work. But there are a list of rules, and then if the rules don't fit in, then the Rishonim argue how to pass it. So the Gemara says, now continuing on this machlokas about whether the Isuk on the boat is kosher. There's a Maisa once, but Rabbi Gamliel says the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva, they're both once, Shayu Ban Basuna, they're both on a boat. I always find these cases where they're riding on a boat. It must be the same case, because later on the Gemara, the Masechta talks about where they didn't have an Esrog. They had one Esrog, so I forget who had the Esrog. Maybe Rabbi Gamliel had the Esrog, so you have to give everybody on the boat his Esrog. You have to own the Esrog on day one to be Yotze. So they're on the boat on day one, I think it was. So they had to give him a Tana al Masla Hachzir. You had to give him the present so they could use it, and the next one gave it to the next guy, to the next guy, to the next guy, so they all could only esok to shake it on sukkahs. So that happens to be, I'm not sure if it's all the same story, that it was on the one sukkahs, or they happen to be on boats often, but either way, this might have happened, they were on a boat together.
You know if it was the Royal Caribbean?
Shahayu, Bon Basvina. So they're both on a boat. Amud Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva stands up. The also sukkah, he starts building a sukkah, Barosha Svina, on the tip of the boat. The macha, the very next day, nishba ruach vakarsa, a wind came and just swept it away. So Amar Rabbi Gamliel, jokes at him, Akiva, eichan sukkasko, what happened to your sukkah? As if to say, you're not supposed to build a sukkah on a boat, it's not good. That's why it got swept away. So we'll see in a second what the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva are. It's about how strong a wind the sukkah has to be able to endure and withstand. So the Gemara says, Amar Abayi. Abayi says, D'chuli Alma, both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva agree. Heicha de'eno yechol olamo beruach mitzuya. Diabasha lo klumi. If this sukkah is not capable of withstanding a normal wind, of a dry, from a land, from a wind that happens on the land, which is not so strong, not as strong as the water at least, if it can't withstand a regular wind, everybody agrees it's nothing. It's pointless. Yechol olamo b'she'eno mitzuya, diabasha. If it's able to withstand a non-common, infrequent wind, the strong wind, that means, diabasha, chuyama lo pligi dikshere, then it's good. Ki pligi, when do they argue? Bidyachol lamur burach mitsuya diabasha. It's able to withstand a normal wind on the land, but the eni yachol lamur, I'm going to read the parentheses here, eni yachol lamur burach she'ena mitsuya diabasha. I said biyam it should be. But it can't withstand a very uncommon wind that's found on the water. I'm sorry, it can't withstand a common wind in the water. It can withstand, if it's on the ground level, on the land, it can withstand the normal winds. But in the water, on top of the boat, it can't withstand that. Is that a good sukkah? That's the question. How much strength does a sukkah have to have? Do we judge it based on where it is in the water right now, or we judge it based on where most people have it, namely on the land? So Gemara continues and says, Rabbi Gamliel Savar, sukkah diras keva, but you know, you need a strong sukkah. V'chevam, de'eno yechol olam or beruach mitzuya diyam, lo klumi. Since it can't withstand a normal wind of the water, that's not called diras keva, that's diras arai. And Rabbi Kiva Savar, sukkah diras arai binan, you know, you only need a temporary dwelling. V'chevam, de'eno olam or beruach mitzuya diyabasha ksheira. Since, I don't care what it does right now in the water, but since elsewhere on the land it's able to withstand it, that's enough to be considered a diras arai. Now it happens to be we're in the water now, and the water it can't withstand the winds, but that's not the definition. Definition is diras arai. It's enough to be able to withstand the lower level type of wind. That's the debate of whether diras keva or diras arai. Now, the Sfas Emes asks, I don't understand. Why are we judging it based on the way it was in the Abasha? Right now, we find ourselves on the water. So, why did Rabbi Kiva say, oh, it's good sukkah, because since the Abasha it's good, it works in the water. The water, a completely different nature here. The weather, the strength of the wind is completely different. So, Sfas Emes says, because the definition of a sukkah is a diras arai, a very temporary dwelling, a very humble abode. So, when you're living on the Abasha, it's a little stronger type of dira. So we have higher standards. But when you're putting a boat out, a sukkah out in the water, it's even a worse type of dira. So the standards of living is much less there. So we're able to, even though normally it can't withstand the winds or the water, we are able to consider that a house. Because normally, again, a house on the land is a much higher standard than a house on the water. So once you go to the water type of house, the standards are lowered. So even though lamaisa, it can't withstand the normal winds of the water, that's enough. And the Brisker Rav says, no. When it comes to the testing of the winds, nothing to do with where it is. The testing of the winds is simply a simon of what defines a mechitza. So the fact that there's a mechitza on the dry land, it can withstand the normal winds, that tells us that's a mechitza. I could take this mechitza and put it anywhere I want. Even though the mice in the water, it won't be able to withstand the winds there, it's called a mechitza. The mechitza is defined by, can it withstand a dry land wind? Not about where it is. As opposed to Sfas Emes says, no, the definitions of a mechitza changes depending on where you are actually are. Now, the Sfas Emes is another suffix. When we say the wind is able to uproot the sukkah, does that mean it could simply uproot the schach? Because we spoke about in the past, only the schach is the ikker, according to Moshe Rishonim. Or means that it's able to uproot the entire sukkah, including all the walls. He's not sure how strong to test the winds, whether based on the schach alone, or including the walls as well. That's a suffix the Sfas Emes has. And one last thing regarding the winds is, the Rashba brings a Yushalmi, how strong is a wind? What's the definition of a wind? A strong wind. So he says either it means a strong wind that comes from time to time, which probably in our day would probably be a 25 mile per hour wind, which is strong, doesn't come that often, but it does come about, or something completely extreme like a hurricane or a tornado. He's not sure how extreme to call a ruach she'ena mitzuya. That's a machlokas in the Yushalmi that the Rashba brings in Baba Kama. Okay, fine. So the Gemara continues now. That's all the discussion about winds. The Gemara now says, and the two dots, quotes from our Mishnah. O al gabe gamal. So we said if the sukkah was placed on top of a camel, it's a kshera, it's a good sukkah, but you cannot go up on it on Yontif because it's a problem, you might break a branch. So, yeah.
Gamal, break a
branch. So they used to ride horses or camels or donkeys, so as a whip, they would take a branch off and like hit the animal to go. So that was the concern. You didn't ride horses in Israel at all? Here? Oh, yeah?
Without a stick.
Without a stick, a whip. So, Masnisin Mani.
I just talked to your spirit today.
He doesn't know Hebrew. So the Mishnah says, money, who is the author of our Mishnah that does not allow you to go up on the animal on Yom Tov? Rabbi Meir, it must be the opinion of Rabbi Meir. D'tanya ha'usa sukasa agabi behema. Somebody makes a sukkah on top of an animal, Rabbi Meir machshir, Rabbi Yehuda, posa, machlokas, whether or not you can make it on top of an animal. What's the machlokas, whether you're allowed to make a sukkah on an animal or not? My time with Rabbi Yehuda, why did Rabbi Yehuda disqualify it? Amakra, the pasuk says, chag ha'sukos ta'selecha shivas yamim. You should make a sukkah and for 7 days, meaning sukkah haru'uya l'shiva shma sukkah. If a sukkah that's fit for 7 days, that's called a sukkah. Sukkah she'ein ru'uya l'shiva lo shma sukkah. If it's not fit for 7 days, it's not considered a sukkah. So since you can't go up on this on Yom Tov or on Shabbos because you can't go on a behema, it's not a 7 day sukkah. It's only a 6 day or 5 day sukkah. Okay. So there's actually machlokas here, the Rashi and the Ritva. Rashi Dibamaskar Ruli Shiva says, it's a little higher up than we are on the Gemara, the Hashid Gazar Rabbanon, now that Chacham said you cannot go on an animal because you might break a branch, Ein Olin La, you're not allowed to go up on it. Nimtei She'ena Ruya Liyom Rishon. Which day are we talking about? Which day can you not go on the animal? So Rashi says on day one. Day one is Yom Tov. You can't go on the animal Yom Tov because you might break it, like the Gemara in Beita says. That you can't go on an animal on Yom Tov because you might break the branch. So too on Shabbos, you can't go up on it either. Rashi says Yom Tov. Ritva chooses a different case. Ritva says you can't go up on it on Shabbos. Why doesn't he mention the same case of Rashi of you can't go up on it on Yom Tov? So Achronim have a machlokes. I had to understand the Ritva, and they say that on Yom Tov, the Ritva holds you're allowed to go on the animal. One of two reasons. Either because you can't go, you normally can't ride an animal just to ride an animal, but for the Tzorach Mitzvah, for the mitzvah of sukkah, then you're allowed to. Allowed to go on the animal. That trumps it on Yom Tov alone. But only on day one is there a chiv to go up on it. There's a chiv suda in the sukkah. The rest of the days, you can eat anything you want outside. There's no chiv to have a bread dafka. You can eat fruit the rest of the week of sukkahs if you want. There's no real chiv mitzvah. There's a kiyum, but it's not a chiv. But day one, there's a chiv. So for the chiv of performing the mitzvah of sukkah, then you're allowed to go up on the animal. That's why the Ritva says only in Shabbos is it a problem. There's no chiv, but in Yom Tov you're allowed to. The Prima Gadon writes that no, it's a din ochel nefesh. Ochel nefesh, we know, is able to be oker and docher a number of different averos. Not averos, different melachas. You could do bishul on Yom Tov because ochel nefesh is docher a few melachas. So here too also, the Prima Gadon says ochel nefesh is able to be docher the gzeir of riding an animal. So on day one, where there's a chiyav to eat, in the sukkah also, it's different than the stam mitzvah. It's more limited. It's narrow to only ochel nefesh. For ochel nefesh purposes, you're allowed to climb the animal to go on the sukkah, but that's only on day one with the chiyuv of ochel nefesh. The rest of the days, so you could get by without having a meal, you could have fruit alone, so then they would he wouldn't apply that.
Sounds like according to Yehuda, it's posel midoraisa, posel. It sounds like it's not kosher midoraisa to use the sukkah, and yet the reason it's not kosher midoraisa is because it's not ru'uya l'sheva because of the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan said you can't go on.
Right, so the Gemara is going to actually change the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but at least according to this stage, they do discuss this because Midiraisa is completely kosher. It is Ruyel 7. How is a Gzeir Derban able to uproot the Deraisa point that you're saying?
Where does it say from Deraisa?
That's the Mashmos. Puzzle sounds like a Lashon of Deraisa. It's disqualified. That's the implication. It
brings a puzzle.
Right. That's too hard. Okay. I think here in the back, maybe the Shar Melch deals with this question. Okay. Now the Gemara continues and says, now that was all according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said it was a posel sukkah on top of an animal. Now it comes along the Rabbanan, Rabbi Meir, ha, nami medraisa mechsi chazir. The Rabbanan, who the guys obey. Rabbi Meir says, what do you mean? But on a deraisa level, you're allowed to go on the animal. There's no issa deraisa going on the animal. So the Chacham came along, they made a gedera, that's fine. But midiraisa, the pasuk said deraisa, of course. So midiraisa, it is ruya, the shiva, and that's why they permit it. Now why the Chacham, why Rabbi Huda thinks it's possible? Either they think that the Chacham have the ability of oker davar min haTorah, like the Gemara tells us a few places, they can't uproot something that's deraisa, they can uproot that. It could be about that machlokas.
It's much more than that, because they're uprooting it, not just for when they make their gedera. Their gzeira has implications on all the other days of sukkah because their gzeira is making it that it's not ru'uya l'shiva, and now memela it's possible the entire
But no, I think that's really just as a result. I mean, if they're ochre day one, let's say, it's called Rashi, they're ochre day one, so mimela, everything else gets ruined. So that could be, but machok is how they understand the din of ochre davar min haTorah. Now, the Gemara quotes a braisa that says, asa lebehema dofen lesukkah. Let's say you use an animal as a wall. Up until now, we've been talking about putting a sukkah on top of an animal. Now you want to use it as a wall. They have nice pictures here on the side of using the animal as a wall. In case you want to see an image, I'm not sure if it's so hard to imagine, but it's still nice nonetheless. So you use an animal as a wall of a sukkah. So Rabbi Meir posed, Rabbi Huda Machshir. So this seems to be the opposite of what they said before. Rabbi Meir says it's not good. Rabbi Huda says it is good, using it as a wall. Why? Shehaya Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir's shita was called Davar Sheyesh Beruachaim. Anything that's live, ain osan osan lo le dofen sukkah. You can't use a live animal for a wall of a sukkah. Lo lechli mavoi, the lechi, we didn't discuss it at length, but beautiful, right? Show the picture of the lechi. Now with the lechi over there, you use it, you know, when you leave the mavoi, you need a kore, a beam, or a lechi on the side. So if you put a cow, as the picture, a nice milk cow, it looks like, a white, black spotted cow. So if you put it on the side as a lechi, to as a hecker, when a person leaves the mavoi, not the carry, so then that would work.
This
is a lechi, right? I guess they didn't have cows in the center of the city so much, so it must have been here for a purpose. It's a lechi. But he says you can't use this, right? Mary said you cannot use a cow for a wall of a sukkah. You cannot use it for a lechi. And velo pasim the birelos, you can't use it. Remember the pasim birelos when you had the four beams at the corners of the well. When the Oli Ragolim would come to Yerushalayim, they had to stop and get water. So if you station an animal at one of the four corners, that doesn't work either, according to Rabbi Meir. Vilo gola lekever. You can't use an animal as a gola kever, which is a cover for a mace. You cover up a mace as a tombstone machlokis, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, all over Shas, what exactly the definition is. According to Rashi here, it says it's referring to the cover of an aron. So the cover of an aron is tame normally, but if you use an animal as a cover of an aron, of a coffin, that does not qualify. Rabbeinu Tam thinks in this long Tosafot says gola refers to something above ground, not part of the aron, but like the tombstone that goes above. That's normal. That's what a golel is called, and that also has a din of tumah. So either way, it does not work for golel.
What do you mean? An animal not work for golel kennel?
Yeah. Meaning, you know, you want to put an animal on top of a kever. So normally the din is, if there's a tombstone on top, according to Rabbeinu Tam at least, if you touch the tombstone, that's tumah, tumas mace. If you put an animal on top of a, or happens to be on top of a mace, that's not considered a golel, it's not considered part of the kever to be metame tumas mace. All right, without getting into the din of golel, but either way, Rabbi Meir says across the board, you can never use an animal for any of these dinim. And Mishum Rabbi Yossi Haglili Amru Af Ein Kosin Alav Gitei Nashim. He adds further, you know what else you can't use an animal for? You can't write a get on the animal and give the get to his wife. Okay, so a number of dinim that the animal doesn't work for. So what's the explanation of all of this? My time with the Rabbi Meir. Why did Rabbi Meir hold that you cannot?
But the get is on the klaf, no, and klaf comes from the name.
Right. The Gemara, I think, and tomorrow's daf discusses, you know, exactly what the what Rabbi Yossi is talking about. But it's not dafka klaf. That's how we use it for, but it could be used, other items can be used also. It seems that only an animal is excluded, but you could write it on a rock. You could write it on many different things. Okay. So my time with Rabbi Meir. What's the reason Rabbi Meir thought that an animal cannot be... Abai Amar, Shema Tamas, because if you use it as a wall or as a lechi, it might die. And if it dies, so then you don't have a good sukkah. You don't have a good lechi anymore. So, okay, that's the opinion of Abai. Rabbi Zeira, Amar, Shema, Tivrach. It might run away. Sounds pretty similar. It either might die or it might run away. So what it says, let's say, Bepil Kusher, Chuyama Lopli. You take an elephant and you tie it down. Everybody is in agreement that it works because it's not going to run away. And di nami mayis, and even if it dies, yesh b'nevelasa asar, it dies and just falls over or crouches, however it dies, I'm not sure. When an animal dies, apparently it becomes very hard and like stiffens up. So it dies, I'm not sure if it dies down or it dies side over, but either way, when it's dead, it's going to have 10 tvachim and then some for the elephant. So that, everyone will agree, will work as a wall.
Only in peel.
Right.
Rosh is it'll fall over, but even if it falls, yeah.
I'm not sure if does fall mean to the side or fall straight down. I have no idea how elephants die.
Want to be in sukkah when it's falling.
No, certainly not. Keep Ligi, when do they argue? The peel she ain't no kosher, when it comes to an elephant that's not tied down. The man damer shema tamus lo chashinan. If it's an issue of it might die, well, we're not concerned that it might die. But the man damer gzeira shema tivra chashinan. But if it might run away, well, it's very likely an elephant will run away. So then you can't use a elephant that isn't tied. That would seem to be a nafkamina. So Gemara says, the man damer gzeira shema tamus. The opinion who thinks that it might die, who's concerned that it might die, an elephant, there's no concern if it dies, because even if it dies, so it's still going to be the right size. Nicha shema tivach. Shouldn't he also be concerned that it might run away? They seem to be two very good reasons as why not to use an animal. So if you got around the problem of it dying because it's a big elephant, you should still be concerned it might run away and it will lose your wall. So Ella, where I said, b'pil she'eino kosher, if it's an elephant that's not tied down, kuli amar lo pligi, everyone agrees it's not good because it might run away. Ki pligi, when do they argue? B'behema kshura, a regular animal, not an elephant, but a regular animal that's tied. The man damar gzeret shema tamus, the opinion who thinks it might die, chashin, and you're concerned that this animal, this cow, might die, and when it's dead and crouched over or bent over, it won't be ten tefachim. So that's why you can't use an animal even if it's tied down. But the man damar gzeret shema tivrach, lo chashin, if it's the concern is it might run away, well, if it's tied down, then it's not going to run away. So that's nafkamina, whether you could use a tied down cow, let's call it. Now the Gemara says, Leman damar gzer shema tivrach, the opinion who thinks that it might run away. And if you tie it down, you've got around the problem of running away. But still, nicha shema tomos, shouldn't this opinion still be concerned that it might die, though? It might die. If it dies and falls over, it doesn't have ten tefachim anymore. Both of them seem to be very, very reasonable concerns. Says the Gemara, yeah. Misa lo shchicha. No, death isn't common. We don't assume people are going to die the next day or two. For that reason, if you tie it down according to one opinion, it's going to work. But according to the other opinion, it doesn't work because we are concerned of Misa.
I have a little note, I guess, from one time I learned so here. This is in Shitas Rameir, and we know Rameir is Hoshish Lemuta, right?
Mm-hmm. Hoshish Lemuta, right, where you vamos.
So here he's saying Misa Lushricha is not something that's common. Olachar, if it's something that happens, according to Rameir, even if it's not common, and she disobeyed you, you should say he's still choshish for him because he's typically concerned about the meat.
Interesting connection. There would be a difference because chashin limyuta is an already existing population. Like, let's say, an islandess. That's the case of a katana katana is not allowed to do yibam, and the Rameir says because we're choshish that she might be an islandess, which is she's not able to have children, a woman who can't have children. Yakara, but islandess is more. Islandess is different. That where she has these the physical features, she doesn't mature in a way where she's not able. Her body just never matures. Or for a man, it's called the saris, where the man never matures. No matter how old he is, he's a saris, can't have children.
That's a disease or something.
Yeah. So that he says the reason why it's possible is a katan katana from doing yibum is because he's choshesh, even though it's very small percentage of people who fit into the categories of islandess and saris, he's still concerned that might exist because that's an already existing population. Here he's concerned of something that might happen in the future, so there's a difference, but I think it's a very interesting connection. I wonder if others make the connection. Did you see this, or this is your own ha'ara?
I think it was my own ha'ara, but I wrote on the side here that Tosfos and Gittin says that even Rameir is choshesh lemuta, he's not choshesh lemia to muta.
Correct, right.
So, maybe this is
right. I mean, it's strange. Misa obviously is shchicha because every day people die. The question is, when we look at a particular person, though, do we assume that he's going to die the next day?
In general, a mayor is not concerned. Is concerned about even a small possibility. Gemara say.
Small possibility of what?
Something happening.
Small percentage.
Small percentage.
So how would that connect to the...
Because over here we... how does it connect to the case of Ilana?
Yeah. I know that because that's where his shita comes out. That's where he tells us the shita. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a small percentage of people being an Ilanus, he's still concerned that this katana, who hasn't matured yet, she might end up being an Ilanus and never mature. So they can't perform yibum because only someone who can.
In regards to Misa,
since Misa is lo shchicha, the Gemara says it's uncommon, Rabbi Meir is still concerned with it, even though it's uncommon. Because in general, Adam's saying, he's always concerned with things that, even though they're uncommon, he's still concerned that it might happen. That's what was the connection. I'm just pointing out there might be a difference between the two. But good hara. Now the Gemara says, three lines from the bottom. V'ha'ika ravcha de'beni beni. So let's say you use the animal tied down. According to the opinion, that the concern of using an animal is it might run away. So you tie down the animal, there's no concern anymore. But if you look below the beautiful picture, below the cow, there's plenty of airspace in between. And if it's three tefachim above the ground, we said if the goats are able to squeeze underneath it and crawl underneath it, that's not considered a good wall. So I imagine it's high enough, three tefachim off the ground. It's probably a foot off the ground, the cow, the bottom of the cow. So a gedi could scoot underneath it. So it should be possible. So the Gemara says, no, it's a case. The you filled in the area with rashes like lulav dekel, like leaves, lulavim from a palm tree, and you filled in the area. It has a picture of it there? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I must have one of mine also, I guess. And Harry wrote this. He made this picture book. Am I getting the wrong idea here?
It's very hard to see. It's underneath the cow, but it's green.
Oh, yeah, they should have made a different color. I see, okay. Probably better off not looking at it. Okay. So the Gemara says, the Dilma Rava, it might end up crouching down. And if it crouches down, then it's going to lose the height. It's going to go below 10 tefachim. The Misicha, the Ash. Yeah.
So a cow is above 10 tefachim?
The height of it, I would imagine, yeah. Yeah, I would imagine. It's 4 inches. It's 40 inches total. It's 3.5 feet, around, a little less than 3.5 feet. So I'd imagine a cow is taller than that.
No, even if she falls down, I would say it's still more than 10 feet.
Yeah, I don't know. If it crouches down, then I'm not sure if it would be...
It's at least like that,
yeah.
If it crouches down.
Yeah?
Of course, it's
a cow?
Animal.
No. If a cow crouches down and like bends its legs, I imagine it would... Yeah, it could lie down. Like, they can't lie completely because then they can't get up. But like if they crouch down like... bend like that a little bit, I think it could get below 10 tefachim, I think.
I'm going to agree with him because of Gemara.
Only because of that.
I saw something, you know, one day I saw like the funniest thing I ever saw in my life with a cow. There was a truck full of cows and the dolphin of the truck is with holes, I guess for breathing, I don't know for what. I was in a gas station to fill up gas and it was in Oklahoma. And the kid came, you know, and started, you know, banging on the walls, scared the cows. And I don't know how to say it nicely even.
Should I turn off the recording?
I don't know how to say it in English even, you know, but...
You can say it in Hebrew, man, it's better.
But the cow did this on the kid.
Went to the bathroom? Okay.
Made on him, but you know, it's such a huge amount, and the kid fell through the hole. And you know, I was pumping the gas, and I couldn't hold it. I fell on the floor with the gas. Yeah, I never laughed like that in my life. Wow, it was amazing.
Poor kid.
Poor kid.
Try to have a little time.
And he banged and he kicked the walls of the truck, and then they gave it to him. Wow, like
you got what he deserved. You scared him enough, huh?
Wow, and he fell, and I fell, and I fell with the gas, and I'm pumping the gas to the floor. And I can't stop laughing. I was full of guys.
Joke's on you. Okay. So anyways, the Gemara's concerned, okay, you filled up the bottom of him. But let's say the cow crouches down, and we're in agreement now, I think we have the majority at least, and Harry's in agreement with us also, that the cow crouches down and it's going to go below 10 tefachim. So it goes below 10 tefachim, how are you going to prevent the cow from crouching down? That's going to ruin your sukkah. So the Gemara says, "De misicha." This is two lines from the bottom. De misicha ba'ashle mil'el. They held him from ropes from above, right? So he can't hang down. He can't bend down. He's held up from these harnessed from above.
So that explains. I was thinking before when talking about using the cow as a model. You said, "Why didn't they use the cow as a keel?"
I'm right.
The
beam.
The beam on top of the mugway. So you can have the lefty at the bottom, or you can have this with the top.
So
have a hoist up a cow.
So, in economy, I guess you could do that. So now, if you hoist him up, or you use a harness holding him standing straight up, So you fill the bottom in with some leaves, and you hold them up so you can't crouch. You have a perfect wall. With man damar gezer shema tamas. But what about the person who concerned they might die? Had misicha ba'asher milel. So you should also be allowed, because once you're talking about a case of holding him up, even that opinion should say, oh, if he dies, he'll be hanging dead, but they'll still have the full wall there. So now everybody would agree you could use a tied up cow. Gemara says, no, because zimnin demokin bepachas mishlosha, samach l'schach. Let's say sometimes you make an exact amount of sukkah. So you make the height of the cow is going to be 7.1 tfachim, and there's going to be 2.9 tfachim in between the schach. So it's perfect. It works out perfectly. You have less than 3 tfachim, there's lavud. However, the chayvin demaisa, but if the cow dies now, kavse v'lava daite, it's going to shrink, kavse is to shrink, and then you're going to have 7 tvachim only, the cow's going to shrink a little bit, maybe even 6.9 tvachim, and then there'll be 3 tvachim or more between the top of the cow to the schach, and that's not going to be lavud, you have a pasul wall. So that's why he says that won't even work if you tie it up. Okay. Says the Gemara now, Umi Amar Baye, the rabbi really say, Rabbi Meir Chayish Lemisa, Rabbi Huda Lo Chayisha. The machlok is before whether or not you could use a cow as a wall or not. Rabbi Meir says you can't because you're concerned it might die. Rabbi Huda says you can because he's not concerned that it might die. We'll see in a moment that it seems to be the opposite. Rabbi Meir is concerned that something might happen, a death, and Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned. It's the other way around. Sorry.
It's a kash in Abaye because there was two terutzim for...
Exactly. Rabbi. How could Abaye say that if elsewhere we see the opposite opinion about
Rabbi Meir? Abaye himself said
that. Abaye himself we're saying, yeah? I thought how could how could Abaye interpret it this way if elsewhere we see pretty clear Rabbi Yehuda is the opposite and Rabbi Meir is the opposite? Bahatnan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us in, where is this, Yivamos, I think?
Gittin.
Okay, in Gittin. Bas Yisrael Shenisis Lekohen. A woman gets married to a Kohen, she's allowed to eat Truma. Now let's say, Halach Bai Lelamidis Bedinas Hayam. Her husband goes overseas, traveling, business. Ochelas B'Truma, she's allowed to eat Truma. Bechezkas Shehi Kaim. You know, assuming that the husband's still alive. There's no reason to think that just because he went overseas, he died. So as long once the Kohen dies, she can't eat Truma anymore. She becomes a regular Eishes Yisrael. But when he goes overseas, we could assume that he's still alive. She could continue to eat Truma. Urminin, they ask a question from Minan Allah, from an elsewhere. They ask a question from the Gemara in Gittin. Hareza Gitech, the husband says to his wife, Hareza Gitech Sha'achas Kodom Misasi. This is your get, an hour before I die. So if the person dies, in a year from now, an hour before he dies, it's a get. Why would you want to do that? Because if he dies without any children, then she has to perform Yibum or Chalitza with her brother-in-law. So the way you get around that, if you divorce her, then she's not obligated to do Yibum or Chalitza with her brother-in-law, so a get saves a lot of problems. So an hour before I die, he says, this is going to be the get. What's the halacha? Asur lechel b'truma miyad. She can't eat right away. What do you mean? We're concerned he's going to die the next hour, that right now she can't eat? It's only an hour before before he dies. So why is she also to eat Truma right away? That means we are concerned with death. So one opinion says when he goes overseas, she could continue to eat because we're not concerned with death. The second case is we are concerned with death, right away she can't eat. So how do we reconcile this machlokus in two brises? So Gemara says, Amar Baye, Baye comes along. May you're right. This is okay. Amar Baye, lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Meir, ha delo chayisha lemisa, ha Rabbi Huda de chayisha lemisa. No. Rabbi Meir is not concerned with Misa. He's the opinion who says that when he goes overseas, you can eat the Truma. And Rabbi Huda is the second Bryce that says when you give the get, he's concerned with Misa. When he gives her the get, right away, she's not allowed to eat Truma anymore. Because we are concerned, he might die any moment. So this explanation of Abaye now is understanding that Rabbi Meir is not Choshesh Lemisa, Rabbi Huda is, while before, in the discussion of the animal as a dofen, he said the opposite, that Rabbi Meir is concerned with Misa, and Rabbi Huda is not concerned with Misa. So that's the theory. How could Abaye say this? And how do we know that Rabbi Huda is Choshesh Lemisa in general? D'tanya, Abaye goes on to bring a proof, a braisa. Halokeach Yain. Now, this next case is not going to be a case of Misa, but it's going to be a case of concern that something in the future might happen. D'tanya, this Bryce is brought numerous times in Shas. Bryce says, right, you see the Mesarsa Shas here, he quotes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7, 8 different times it appears in Shas. So, Halokeach Yain Mibena Kusum. A guy buys some wine from the Kusum, and Rashi points out before we were goes in the Kusum, the Kusum were still considered Jews. But the Kusum did not take Meiser and Truma from it. He bought wine, and now he has to separate Meiser. He first separates Truma, gives 1/50th to the Kohen, he separates Meiser Rishon. What he decides to do instead, though, he says, Omer, Shnei Lugin Shani Asir Lahafrish. He said, I'm going to drink the wine first. I'm going to leave over at the end the following amounts to give to the Truma and the Meiser at the end. He says, Omer, Shnei Lugin Shani Asir Lahafrish, Harei and Truma. Two Lugin, let's say he had 100 lug of wine. So 1/50th is two. So two Lugin, I will, at the end, give over as Truma to the Kohen. Now he's left with let's call it 102 he had. He had 102. He took off two to make it, now he's 100 left. And now he says, now the Asara, now a tenth of 100, which of course is 10, Asara Maaser Rishon. He gives to the Maaser Rishon to the Levi. Now he has 90 left. Now he has to take another tenth, which is going to be 9 of 90, Tisha, another 9, Maaser Sheni will be Maaser Sheni, which he has to bring to Yerushalayim to eat there. And then after he says that, Umeichel, Vishosim Yad, Divrei Rebbe Meir. You're allowed to drink right away. So he doesn't take it first right away. He says, at the end, the leftovers, two, have a total of 21 leftover. Two will be for the Kohen, 10 will be for the Levi, and 9 he'll take to Yerushalayim.
So does that mean that Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni is always 19% from the whole? Probably, I don't know that.
Yeah.
It's always 19%.
Yeah, because you minus 10%, and 10% always 19%. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then, Reb Meir says you could do it right away. And then leftovers will be over for Truma. Normally you're supposed to take Truma first, but you can even leave it over for the end to do. Now, we'll go on to the next page a little bit, a few lines in. Come along Rabbi Yehuda, along with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, all three of them, Osir, and they say it's Asa to do this. So why? Reb Meir says that the reason being, because let's say Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that it might break. Let's say you're drinking the wine, and then your large container, your large barrel of wine cracks. All the wine drips out. You can't take Truma and Maaser anymore. So what you ate was Tevel. Tevel is anything that was untithed. If I plan doing it in the future, Inachnami would work, it sounds like from the Gemara, it would work. But you can't do it, you shouldn't do it, because let's say it breaks in the end of the day, then you haven't taken Truma, and you drank wine from something that Truma was never taken from. So Rabbi Yehuda says you can't do it, because you're choshesh, you're concerned it might break. But just like he says you're choshesh, it might break, so too in the case of the Gittin case, he's choshesh for Misa. He's choshesh of things happening in the future. Rabbi Meir, however, we're not concerned that it might break. We're not concerned with these things. You'll have to drink wine now at the end, you'll take the Truma. So too, he wasn't concerned that the husband goes overseas, that her husband will die, just you could continue to eat Truma. From all of this, what we see is, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned things might happen, Rabbi Meir is not concerned things might happen. This goes against our Gemara and Sukkah. We just said that Rabbi Meir is concerned things might happen. You cannot use the animal as a dovin because the animal might die. The opposite of what he said before. Rabbi Yehuda by Sukkah says, you are not concerned things might happen, that we're not concerned the animal might die. But here, by the get case, he says that we are concerned things might happen. Okay, they just steer, basically, between whether things will happen or things won't happen. So the Gemara responds and says, we'll go just four lines down. The Gemara responds, Ipuch. Let's switch it around. Rabbi Meir, Chai Shlemisa, Yehuda lo Chai Shlemisa. Rabbi Meir, in this last brisa, we're going to switch things around. Really, Rabbi Meir is the opinion who thinks that you should not take the Truma and Maaser, you shouldn't leave it over for the end. He's concerned that it might break, and everything's a little bit more consistent. Why do we say this? Ditani, the Brisa says, Asa lebehema dofen lesukah, Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshu, because you have this Brisa, which is pretty clear. They don't want to switch the Brisa around. This Brisa is clear that Rabbi Meir is concerned the animal might die. So too, he should be concerned that the husband might die, and when you give the get, you can't eat Truma right away. And so too, it should be that we shouldn't leave Truma for the end because the barrel might break. And Rabbi Yehuda is the opposite.
Rashi saying that Ipuch doesn't mean, we're not saying the Brisa of Lokeach Yayin is Ipuch. We're saying Abaye, who is Metarek, the steerer between the two cases of the Chazaka with the Isha and the get, that's what we're you should be Mahafich Abaye's Shita about how we answer who's Chayish Lemisa and who's not Chayish Lemisa.
Right, but wouldn't you still have to get around the problem that this...
I think the Gemara is not going to ask that. That's the next question.
You
haven't resolved that problem.
Okay, I see. Okay. So we're ignoring the case of the wine right now. We didn't Chayish Lemisa, so we're going to maintain our understanding of Chayish Lemisa. That Rabbi Meir is concerned of the cow dying. So too, he must be the author of that when the Kohen gives the get, right away, it's Asher B'Truma, because he might die. Rabbi Huda, who was not concerned that the animal might die, he also wasn't concerned that the kohen goes overseas, that he's not concerned the kohen might die. The isha could continue to eat the truma while he's overseas. It ends up being a stira to the brice about the wine, but that, I guess, tomorrow we'll deal with how to get around that stira. Okay.
Shkoyach.
Thanks for the story, by the way.